All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Deuteronomy 16, will the death angel pass over you? That's a good question, because we are warned that he is coming back. The death angel of the great book of Revelation is coming to this earth to execute judgment upon those who have not taken the proper steps necessary to protect themselves. What are those steps? And what is this death angel? Well, we're going to read about that today. We're covering the old Passover in Deuteronomy 16, but we're going to bring it up to today's standards. We're going to apply it to today, and we're going to go into the book of Revelation some as well. But before we begin, let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray for wisdom and understanding in your word. Help us to protect ourselves. Help us to prepare for these troublous times ahead, for these last days. And we pray this in the precious name of Yeshua the Christ. Amen. All right, please turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 1, and it reads, "Observe the month Abib, and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night." So what God is saying, hey, remember this night. Remember how God delivered you. And remember how the death angel passed over your houses, but destroyed the Egyptians. You know, when God got done with the Egyptians after all 10 of those plagues, Egypt was left in ruins. It was a disaster. And God is going to do that again to this world as he delivers his people who have the blood of the Lamb covering them and protecting them from the death angel, from judgment. This is a very important topic, and that's why God wants us to remember this year by year. And this, we covered kind of the dates of this before. We talked about the solar calendar and things like that. But basically, this month of Abib would be approximately our April, late March, early April. But we have a study titled The Feast Days in Principle and Prophecy. I think it's a blog. We've got a few videos on the feast days. If you go to our site and plug it into the search bar or go to our YouTube channel, you should be able to find those there. But we're not going to concentrate on the dates and things like that about this feast day. We're going to talk about the death angel. Because again, he's coming back again. And a lot of people think they're Christians. They say they're Christians. But they have no idea what's coming. Many of them think they're going to be gone. They're going to be raptured out of here before the Antichrist comes. But this message of the Passover tells us a completely different story. It says we're going to be here when the death angel's here. But we're going to be protected if we take the proper steps necessary to be protected. And here we go. So God says, hey, I want you to observe that. I want you to keep that as a feast day. And I must say that some of the specific rituals that were done on these feast days no longer apply. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 documents where Paul said, hey, don't let any man put you in judgment, or don't let any man judge you according to the law, put you in jail for it or punish you for not keeping the Sabbath days or the feast days and things like that. They're no longer legally binding in that sense as far as the rituals were concerned. But some things do apply, and the specific thing is the blood of the Lamb. And we're going to talk about that when we get reading here. But anyways, and I'm not talking about the physical blood of the Lamb. I'm talking about the blood of the Lamb, the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that replaced the Passover Lamb. But we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here. Let's just keep reading. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God. There it is, that the Passover was the Lamb without blemish, of the flock and of the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. That's what they're supposed to do, is sacrifice that Passover lamb. Now, Christ, we find out from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, that Christ became our Passover lamb. This Passover lamb here only looked forward to the time that Christ would come and be sacrificed for us and place his blood upon us to protect us. And so here we go. Verse 3, thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste. You went out of there in a hurry, that thou mayest remember. Now check that out. Remember. Put this in our remembrance. Never forget it. This was Independence Day for God's people. The ultimate 4th of July, if you would. For it was the day that God delivered his people from bondage, from Egypt. And you know what's fascinating is that some of the early suggestions for the Great Seal of the United States, one of the suggestions for the Great Seal of the United States was actually a picture of Moses delivering, or God using Moses to deliver the children of Israel from the Egyptians and the Red Sea parting. And they used it, they thought of the Red Sea as that they applied it to the Atlantic Ocean. As far as God's people escaping here to this great land so that they could build a Christian nation, a Christian kingdom, a nation who had no king but King Jesus. That was their motto. That was their motto. But God said, I want you to remember how bad it sucked there. That's what he meant when he said the bread of affliction. I want you to remember that it wasn't any fun, so that you don't go back into that. You know, that's the way people are today. We've forgotten who gave us our freedom, who gave us our independence. We've forgotten that freedom can only come through obedience to the law and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the only way it can be achieved. We can't just have a freedom because we deserve it, or it's just everybody's granted right. It's your granted right if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, and you practice those beliefs, but you don't deserve freedom if you're not a Christian. God's word never has promised it. He's always promised slavery, bondage, misery, if we do not do things his way. Anyways, God says, I want you to do that for 7 days. That's repetition. God likes repetition. It's the mother of learning. That's why we teach things, and we teach them over and over again, because it takes a while for some principles to rub into our minds. That's the way we teach our children and so forth. But I also think that what God was doing here too is he was rescuing the children of Israel from Egypt, and he was immediately trying to institute some kind of discipline and order among the nation. Some lessons we could learn today, because Christians today are so undisciplined. They want to just, you know, do whatever they want to do without any order, without any boundaries, without any restraints. But, here we go. You know what? Since we're talking about Egypt here, we are going back into Egypt today, right now. You could look at Obama and some other leaders that we've had, sort of like being Pharaoh, especially Obama, by signing executive order after executive order to put us into bondage and to pass legislation that puts chains upon our nation, such as Obamacare. Oh yeah, they called it Affordable Care Act. It's nothing but the Bondage Act is what it is. And we're going back into, you know, I'm going to turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we're going to talk about this here. It says, I was mentioned that we're going back into Egypt again, and We are. It's happening. Not physically, but we're going back into bondage. And this is what God said would happen. He says in verse 68, "And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships. By the way whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you." You're going to be slaves. Well, guess what? We're going back into Egypt today and we're becoming slaves. With all this high taxation and, you know, taxes for this and that. It's crazy. You know, the lesson we're going to learn from Passover is that Christ, through his blood, has set us free. He's redeemed us because, again, this holiday here, this Passover here, was to celebrate the redemption of Israel by the strong arm of Almighty God. And we today are redeemed by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is sent, you know, the blood is central to the Passover. It's what it's all about. Because when you look at that blood, like they put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost in times past for the Passover, it was a symbol. When people looked at it, they would see all this blood on these doorposts. It lets you know that it looked forward to the time that there would be a sadistic murder take place. The murder of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross. But it not only looked at that, the blood also let, when we look at blood, it also lets us, it also makes us think of things such as somebody paid the ultimate price for us. Somebody shed their blood for us. And somebody, when we all, to the ultimate, it means that Christ's blood has covered over our sins and is protecting us from the destroyer, the death angel, from judgment. Because we're going to read about it, maybe not here, but we might go back into Exodus and read a little bit. But this great Passover symbolized two different things. Redemption for Israel, Independence Day, but judgment upon the Egyptians. And that's going to happen in the future when we get to the great book of Revelation. God's going to send his judgments upon the entire world in a future Passover, if you would, a future deliverance. But he's going to save his children. Those who have the blood of the Lamb upon their doorposts of their minds. They believe in him. They have faith in him. They trust him. So here we go. We go to verse 4. "And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast 7 days. Neither shall there anything of the flesh which thou sacrificest the first day at even remain all night unto the morning." Well, God was trying to make them remember is they had to leave in haste. They didn't have time for the bread to rise, to put yeast in the bread and let it rise and bake and sit there in comfort. No, they had to cook their food fast and they had to eat their bread and get on their mission, the mission of leaving Egypt. Now, today, this tells us something. There is no time for lollygagging in this generation. We've got a mission ahead of us. In fact, when you look at the great book of Revelation, the first 3 chapters are pretty much the introduction to what's going to happen on earth. And it's preparation. It's Jesus Christ preparing his servants for the great battle ahead, for the tribulation, for the trials. And he gives them encouragement there. And he tells them, hey, shape up. Get yourselves ready. Get disciplined. And be ready for hard times ahead. And what he said there, the other thing he said there was, he encouraged everyone to overcome. That's what this life is all about. That's why we've named this ministry Christian Overcomers. Because that's our whole purpose here on this earth is to overcome this world. And to make it there and receive those, there is at least 9 specific rewards promised to the overcomers. And we talked about that in our latest blog, in the Daily Manna, our membership blog. We talked about and listed those nine things, those nine rewards that are promised to those who overcome. And by the time you're getting this video, there'll probably be another one up titled The Hidden Manna. We're going to kind of try to look at that and see what is that? That was a reward promise in Revelation chapter 2, I believe it was, to the overcomers. But what is the hidden manna? Have you ever stopped and thought about that? About what it means? Because those rewards in the book of Revelation promised to overcomers are something else. Some of them I can't completely comprehend or understand yet. And perhaps some of them we won't completely understand until we get there. But what Christ wanted us to know, he wanted to give us encouragement and say, hey, if you make it through until the end, if you make it through the hard times, the tribulation, the trials, the persecution, you will receive these rewards. And the last reward was one that I don't even completely understand myself. Is Christ said, hey, if you overcome, I will grant you the right to sit with me in my throne, ruling over God's kingdom. Think about that. Verse 5, thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God hath given thee, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest out of Egypt. And that's when you're supposed to do it. Today, this specific legal requirement no longer applies, because Christ already fulfilled that sacrifice in the place that the Lord chose, which was that place of skulls, Golgotha. Verse 7, and thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt turn in the morning and go into thy tents. What is the Passover lamb? Now remember, Christ said, hey, take this bread, for this is my body, and eat you all of it. He was that Passover lamb that was sacrificed for us. So this body of the lamb is symbolic of the body of our Lord, which is none other than God's word. We're supposed to take it within ourselves and absorb it so that we can be ready. 6 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work therein. On the seventh day, that was a Sabbath. There was to be no work done on that day. It was a whole week of eating unleavened bread. Again, reminding the children of Israel, or telling the children of Israel, don't forget, you had to leave in haste. That place was no fun. It was no fun being in bondage. Why don't you enjoy your freedom? Enjoy your freedom. Well, since we got a little bit of time here, I think we're not going to continue on in this chapter today. We are going to skip over back over to Exodus chapter 12, verse 12. And then don't go anywhere, because we're going to get to the book of Revelation. We're going to talk about the death angel there a little bit. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12, verse 12, and we might pick up a few verses here. About that great night when that death angel passed over. I mean, that was the ultimate plague that God sent upon the Egyptians. There was the frogs, there was the lice, there were things that were uncomfortable. When that death angel came over, that got their attention. And, let's go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. And thus shall you eat it. He's talking about the Passover. With your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, being ready for battle. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Again, this lets us know, hey, these times are coming quickly upon us. Are you prepared Are you prepared to handle the things that are coming? Are you, have you taken the steps necessary to inoculate yourself from the death angel? And, well, here we go. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And I will execute, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. You know, all those different plagues that God sent upon the Egyptians, they were focused on, or they were directed against the false gods that the Egyptians worshiped. Because the Egyptians worshiped all these different nature gods, so on and so forth. And God just kind of turned that nature around and mocked every single one of their false gods. But this is coming again upon the world. God says, hey, again, be ready. These things are coming. We see that they're coming today. Unless you got your head in the sand or your head in the TV 24 hours a day, you know that we're getting closer. Things are happening. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein you are. It shall be a sign. This here, this word token is a sign. It demonstrated their obedience, their faith. It was a covenant sign, if you would. The sign that says, hey, God, me and you are in agreement on this. I will do as you tell me to do. And, you know, that makes us think about this. What is the covenant sign between us and God today? It's Holy Communion. When we take that Holy Communion, when we break that bread together and we take that cup of wine, that lets God know, hey, we're in a covenant with you, God. We will do all that we can to live up to your requirements and then God in return gives us blessings. So he says, and the blood shall be a token upon the houses wherein you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Those plagues are coming. They're called the seals, the trumpets, the vials, the thunders of the great book of Revelation. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast forever. And then he goes on, and he talks about the destroyer coming in. And let's go to verse 22 in Exodus chapter 12 here. He says, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood. I mean, it was just a bunch of a certain kind of plant. It's basically using it as like a big marker. And strike and dip it in blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel upon the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of the house until the morning. Okay, stay in there. Be protected. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel, this is important. Because if that blood, if we don't truly believe in Jesus Christ and truly have faith in him, that's not just saying I believe and I have faith. That means actually being a Christian, believing in what he teaches. Then, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel, when God recognizes that you are in a covenant with him, and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over that door and will not suffer the destroyer to enter into your houses to smite you. Now this happens, this can be taken on many different levels. Here, back in Egypt, this was an angel God used to destroy the firstborn of Egypt. And then we get to the book of Revelation and we read about a destroyer that comes out of the pit in Revelation 9, which I feel is, in that sense, is we're talking about a demonic realm. You know, demons cannot enter into somebody if they have the blood of the Lamb upon them. They can't come in and destroy your life. But if you let down that, if you erase that blood off that doorpost, they can come right on in. I've seen it happen to people that could be getting caught up in the ways of the world, being fanatical about anything, about your some selfish thing about yourself, about what you look like. Anytime you put something ahead of God in your life, as far as idolatry is concerned, you take down that blood off the doorpost and the destroyer can come on in. And again, we're talking, this can go on many different levels. The destroyer in one sense is demonics, evil spirits. And then in the ultimate sense, well, we'll get to that in the book of Revelation. And you shall observe this thing forever for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And so on. But you can read that chapter. It goes into that more, talking about the death angel passing over. Let us turn over to Revelation 12. And I think we're going to pick it up somewhere around verse 11. And this is where we're going to close up today. The ultimate death angel that's coming is Satan himself. And I think just prior to that, for those of you who study a little deeper, you have Abaddon and Apollyon mentioned as well, which strikes men with a plague for 5 months. And that's something we've got a blog. I'm not going to go into that right now. We've got a blog on that titled Demons from the Abyss, I believe. And you might want to read that. Anyways, Revelation 12, verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. That's amazing. You know, Satan has already almost deceived the entire world. How many people do you know actually hunger for the truth of God's word, hunger for that manna, that angel's food that gives you life? He was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Hey, they're coming back again. And a lot of people don't realize this, but Satan, as well as his supernatural angels, are coming back to this earth to rule the world. You know, they came here before and they're coming back again. In Genesis chapter 6, fallen angels came to this earth. You know, a lot of people think, well, everything's just going to be, there's just going to be some man antichrist somewhere. Oh, sure, there can be many different men possessed to do great things for Satan. But ultimately, Satan's coming here himself. And he's not going to look like a mean, monstrous devil. He's going to look like the Savior to many. He's going to come claiming he's the Christ, the Savior of the world. And most will believe him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. That's Satan's role. That's the role he plays. He is the one that accuses us of our sins. When we sin, he stands before God and he says, look what they did. They deserve death. I now own them. And legally, God allows that to happen. That transition to happen. Satan can have power over those who sin. Except, we come to this verse. There's one exception to that legality there. And they overcame him. How do we overcome? Do we do it by our own might, by our own power? Well, there's a lot of things we're supposed to do on our part. But check this out. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Overcame who? They overcame Satan. They overcame the accuser. Because when we sin, we deserve death. That is the basic principle of Christianity. But that blood, when we recognize that Christ's blood spilled upon that cross for us to cover our sins, the death angel cannot touch us. Satan cannot accuse us before God. He can go away crying like a little baby. And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So there are three things here that overcomers do. They believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they give testimony concerning the truth. And they do not worry about dying. That reminds us when Christ said, hey, take up your cross and follow me. You know, will people be killed in the tribulation? Well, we know the two witnesses will be for sure. And I have no doubt others will be as well. It doesn't matter. Because our mindset should be, yes, we're going to be, we could be killed, but we're going to stand until the end. Does that mean all of God's elect, all of God's children will be killed? No, it doesn't. Some will probably make it all the way until the end, to that 1335th day, and be protected throughout. God has a plan. But again, this has got to be our mentality, because this is why Christ gave it to us. He says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Think about that. Think about that. We must be willing to do what he did. That's got to be our mentality if we're going to overcome. You know, I've said it before, hey, if that's too much for you as a Christian, then you might want to join a different religion. You might want to join one that's a little bit easier. Because we're moving into these days, we have no time to be playing games, just playing church or playing fuzzy-wuzzy Christianity. The enemy is mounting against us right now, ready to march against us like never before. And tomorrow, the whole tide could change. And becoming a Christian might be a totally different thing than we realize today. It's humbling when you think about it. Again, it kind of makes you do a gut check. Hey, am I ready for this? Am I ready to go against all this stuff? And if we're not, we better get our mindset so that we are. Well, I wish I could keep going, because I get so excited getting into God's word like this. I enjoy teaching it and studying it with all of you. It's, well, I couldn't think of anything better that I would like to do. But hey, that's it for that chapter today. We'll pick up Deuteronomy 16 and we'll get into some of the other feast days a little bit. And we'll try to apply them to today, so that we're not just reading history, because we're not supposed to study just the complete history of God's word. Yeah, we're supposed to know it. That's what we build off of. But we build off of those foundations, and then we apply them to the world today. Because without application, without applying, if you don't apply knowledge, it's worthless. We have to use it. All right. We'll close up there. Hey, like we always say, because Christ said it in Matthew chapter 4 when he was tempted of the devil, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, the daily manna. So see that you consume it. See that you digest it. Meditate upon it every single day so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.